Today, Pastor Ray Bentley points out it's important to seek the Lord, especially at those times when we don't feel like it.
God is saying, I want you to seek me, and it's not going to be easy. You're going to have to, it's going to boggle your mind. It's going to wrap you up emotionally sometimes into a knot. But I don't want you to stop. For you will find me when you seek for me with all of your heart.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. Even some of the great prophets of God had times of stress and disillusionment in their lives. Today, Pastor Ray shows us a time of loneliness in the life of the great prophet Daniel, and we'll learn something for our own times of challenge. It's good encouragement from one of the great books of Bible prophecy. Let's listen.
Let's go to the book of Daniel, chapter 10. What I want you to understand is where Daniel is at. Okay, you know that when Daniel was young, when he was a teenager, Israel was taken into captivity. From Israel, he has spent 70 years in ancient Persia or ancient Babylon, which is the modern day areas of Iraq and or Iran, especially Iraq. So there he was, for he spent the majority of his life there, and we saw how God raised up this Jew in ancient Babylon to a place of political honor and a place where he was trusted as a wise man, as a man who knew the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who could reveal dreams, who could interpret the dreams, who could see through those dreams the future, for his God told him what was to come to pass. And God had used him in many wonderful ways. Now, Daniel knew his scriptures were the book of Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah, God had told Daniel that you will be in Babylon 70 years. After 70 years, I will return my people back to their land. When the Babylonians came, when Daniel was still a young man and a teenager, and he was at home and he was in Israel and he was able to go to the temple and worship in Jerusalem, they destroyed the temple, they destroyed the city of Jerusalem, they burned it with fire. Now God, after 70 years, has said, you can go home. And Daniel was living in Babylon, though he is in his 90s now, he's able to say to the next generation, the young people, God has been faithful to his promise. He promised, for the most part, your parents, that after 70 years, he would take off the chains of our captivity. He would set us free. You no longer are slaves in Babylon. You are now free to go home to the land of Israel that God promised to your forefathers, and rebuild the city of Jerusalem. We have been given the authority. We have been given money. God had raised up Cyrus to help them. In fact, he had named Cyrus through the prophet Isaiah. So how exciting it must have been for Daniel, now an old man who has been faithful to the Lord and a man, a mighty man and a man of prayer, to speak to that generation now to go home. And what we're going to find in this story is that while Israel returned physically, she had not returned spiritually in her heart. There were those who went back to the land, but they weren't interested at first in rebuilding the city. They weren't interested in rebuilding the temple. They weren't interested in starting to read the Word of God. They weren't interested in starting to worship the Lord there. They just went back to the land and started building their own homes. Because for some reason, though they had been cured of, let's say, idolatry, which got them in trouble in the first place, they had not been cured to fall in love with the God who loved them. So here comes this vision to Daniel. Again, he is in his 90s. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks, it says in verse 2. He says, look at this in verse 3. I ate no pleasant food. No meat or wine came into my mouth. Nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And so he is probably, as an old man, he's praying, and he doesn't have to work anymore. And as he prays, what do you think he's praying for? Well, he is too old to make the long journey to go back to the land of Israel. And he still believes that God has, I believe, a call upon his life to be in Babylon. And he's encouraging the whole nation of Jews that has been taken in captivity, go home. You're free. Leave. You are not Babylonians. You are Jews. God is not finished with you. Rebuild the beautiful city of Jerusalem. Rebuild the walls of the temple. Worship the living God and be the example and the light of the world that your parents had neglected. And guess what? As Daniel gave these words, as he gave these exhortations, as he gave this passionate pursuit and intercessory prayer, the vast majority of Jews, I'm talking the vast majority of them, guess what they did upon hearing that? They stayed where they were. They became comfortable in Babylon. They had built homes in Babylon. And I think that as Daniel heard, hey, God's now, your 70 years are through, the discipline is past, you can go home, you can rebuild a nation, I give it to you. And in fact, they have the authority from the king, Cyrus, and money from him to go and rebuild it. They're not interested. And apparently what happened to Daniel, the man of God, is he got depressed. And he got so depressed, he didn't want to eat. Now, it doesn't mean he didn't totally eat. There were certain things. He didn't eat anything that just, you know, for flavor or things that tasted good. He ate just minimally because he was old to just stay alive. But, you know, if you've ever been sick at heart, have you ever been so kind of destroyed inside emotionally that food doesn't taste good? You smell it and it just kind of makes you sick. Yes, you get hungry, but you only want to eat just because you know you need to eat to live. That's what Daniel was like. So depressed by this fact that his own people were not interested in restoring Jerusalem, in rebuilding the temple, and the few who did return, there was only 40-some thousand of them, there were these other people who had moved in while they were gone called the Samaritans, and Ezra chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, talks about how these local Samaritans, when a handful of Jews came back and started rebuilding, did everything they could to discourage them from building. Is it any wonder then that the prophet Daniel fasted and mourned and prayed? He was upset. So look what happened in verse 4. It says, now on the 24th day of the first month. So it's been 3 weeks that he's been just barely eating and he's praying and he's just depressed and he's saying, God, nobody is taking you at your word. Nobody wants to go home. As I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. In other words, he sees a heavenly man. Let's just for right now call him the heavenly man. And when he sees him, he's not an earthly man. He knows this is a divine man. And he sees this, you know, imagine a belt that is not only pure gold, but it is like on fire, like gold that is being melted in fire. I don't know if you've ever seen that. I had the privilege, my only occupation before being a pastor, I was a jeweler's apprentice. And I remember we used to pour the little cast iron deal there, the golden nuggets, and then it was heated up in the flame. And the closest thing to glory is gold that is so hot that it is molten. It just is so absolutely beautiful. You can't imagine the color of gold that is so hot that it's liquid. And so imagine this belt that looks like it is that color and fluidity of fire that is around this heavenly man's waist. Now, he goes on. He says, I saw this heavenly man, or this certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl. His face was like the appearance of lightning. His eyes were like torches of fire. His arms and his feet like burnished bronze. That means like it's just been bronze that has been polished so that any light at all that reflects off it, it hurts your eyes. And the sound of his words were like the voice of a multitude. Wow. Who is this man? The Bible never calls an angel a man. And here it's talking about this man. I believe it's none other than the Lord of glory. If the Lord appeared to Abraham, and I believe Jesus did appear to Abraham, I believe that Abraham saw Jesus. In fact, Jesus said, you know, Abraham saw me. And before Abraham was, I am. I believe that Moses saw the Lord. Then why not Daniel? Again, this is at the end of his life. And if you compare this list of verses 4 through 6, if you're writing notes, write down Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, when John the Apostle saw Jesus as he describes him. Compare. They fit. They just fit together. I believe that Jesus was seen and revealed himself to John the Apostle, and I believe that here, even before his virgin birth, Jesus revealed himself to the prophet Daniel. Now, there are some who will argue that this is merely an angel or some kind of an angel that revealed himself, but throughout the Bible, it is the presence of God alone that produces this kind of shattering and humbling experience. It is God alone that gives this kind of strength and comfort. Only those who are in the presence of God have this kind of experience. So the climax of all Daniel's dreams, all of his visions, all of his life, all of his years of prayer came at the end of his life, not unlike the end of the book of Job, where Job finally saw God and his glory. Now Daniel sees the Lord. And what he sees, I believe, is Jesus, who's going to come back. And little by little, the Lord revealed to Daniel himself, little by little. It's like the man who collected fine pearls, and he loved pearls, and he loved the beauty of pearls, and he searched everywhere for a better pearl and a bigger pearl, and he collected them little by little, one by one. Each one he discovered was better and more beautiful and larger than the last, until finally, at the end, he finds the pearl of great price. And that's what life in many ways is. God reveals himself slowly, little by little, to each and every one of us. I believe that Daniel saw the Lord Jesus. Now look with me in verses 7 through 10. And we'll close with these three verses. He says, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. As surely as there are times when you are going to be in the wilderness of depression and discouragement, there will be times where you feel alone. Now, you can go to work, and you might work where there's 100 employees, and yet you feel detached from everything. You see everybody going through the motions of work and doing what they do, and yet it's almost like you're just merely observing them. And you feel somehow separate from everything. You feel alone. Welcome to being a human being. Welcome to what it even means to be made in the image of God. I promise you, there will be times in your life when you say, I feel nothing. I don't feel the Spirit. I don't feel good. I don't feel hope. In fact, the only feeling I have is I feel alone and I feel miserable. That's where Daniel was at the end of this 3 weeks of praying and fasting. It's not like God was talking to him for 3 weeks. He was praying, but he wasn't hearing anything. He was eating a little bit, but he was just going through the motions. But it was at the end of that time when he was alone. How many times in the Bible does God wait until we are alone to reveal himself to us? At the very moment when you sit there and begin even doubting the existence of God, or if there really is a God, or if there is a God, does he care about me? And if he does care about me, how is he showing he cares about me by how miserable I feel right now? And there you are, angry maybe at God and depressed and doubting. And at the same time, how can you be angry with someone that doesn't exist? I mean, it only verifies that you're frustrated. And just at the moment when you think all hope is lost and the final light is ready to go out, you hear a voice, a whisper, "Ray, whatever your name is, guess what?
What?
I'm here."
"You are? Where are you?"
"I'm inside of you. I've never left."
"Really?"
I said, "Well, what's all this stuff that's going on?"
"That's you. That's you struggling. That's you coming to the end of your strength. That's your flesh flailing. That's you wrestling like Jacob. And I had to wait until you ran out of strength because you wouldn't listen. You wouldn't pay attention. I could have talked to you for 3 weeks now, but you wouldn't have heard what I was saying. Now, you're listening, aren't you?"
"Yeah."
And immediately, the moment that in the darkest, loneliest times, that's when God waits for us to be alone to reveal himself. That's when you have dreams. That's when you have visions. That's when the God of glory reveals himself. That's when the heavenly man arrives in the wilderness and alone. It says, "And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision." Now, that's interesting. Daniel was with men, but he says, "I was alone, and I alone heard the Lord. But a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves." There might come a time when you get so depressed that all your friends run away, because you're too depressed to hang around with. Then you start talking to yourself, and they go, "He's nuts. We knew he was nuts," but they ran away. Daniel's mumbling, who knows, but he is seeing something. He is hearing something. "Therefore, I was left alone." There's that word again. "When I saw this great vision." And then look what the result was. "No strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground." The English Bible translates the very first verse of this chapter, "Though this word was true, it cost him much toil to understand it. Nevertheless, understanding came in the course of the vision." Let me read that to you again. It's talking about Daniel. And it's talking about, it's kind of a prelude to this whole vision of this heavenly man. "Though this vision, the word of this vision was true, it cost him," Daniel the prophet, "much toil to understand it. Nevertheless, understanding came in the course of the vision." In other words, Daniel saw the Lord. He experienced at the worst, darkest, loneliest, emptiest, most depressing moment of his life, the Lord. But the drift of the words, he didn't get it. God was speaking to him and it didn't make sense to him. The meaning was not obvious. And in fact, in verse 6, if you look at verse 6 again, he says, "The voice was like the sound of a multitude." God was saying all kinds of things, but it just sounded like a multitude. I couldn't make heads nor tails out of it. And what was happening is that for Daniel at that moment, and he gets so weak that he falls and faints as though he were dead. There was nowhere to escape the pressure of the grace of God that sought to invade his soul. And I love that expression. I want to say to you, here's the Spirit of God is like air. Air puts pressure on you. We've got our environment and the way God made it is it has so much pressure per square inch. And it kind of really holds us together. If we didn't have this, we'd all be little puddles of flesh. And there's air. As soon as you open your mouth, it's like automatic. It's gentle, but there's a gentle pressure. The air wants to fill your lungs. That's just like the Spirit of God. The moment you relax and open your eyes and open your ears and open your mind and open your soul and open your heart, There is this beautiful invasion of God's grace wanting to fill you. And I think that what God was saying to Daniel is, Daniel, okay, now I have you. I love you. I'm going to reveal myself to you. I'm going to share some things with you. And what you're going to experience, you've wanted this. You've been waiting for this and praying for this, and I'm going to give it to you, but it's going to wipe you out. There is a cost to going deeper with God. There is the cost of involvement. There is a cost of saying, okay, I believe you, God. I believe your promises. I accept your will for my life. When God begins to move in your life, you lose all strength. You submit everything to him. He takes you. And there's no turning back from that total demand of God for your strength and for your soul. And that's what God was doing. The cost, I believe, for Daniel was, Daniel, you have no idea what this is going to cost you to have the glory of God revealed to you and the heavenly man to touch you and to know and to hear and to experience and understand divine things. You've searched for it, and now you're going to be rewarded for it. And the cost is the same for you and me. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. This is out of the NIV. Let's read this scripture out loud together. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. God is saying, I want you to seek me, and it's not going to be easy. You're going to have to, it's going to boggle your mind. It's going to wrap you up emotionally sometimes into a knot. It won't make sense right away. But I don't want you to stop. Keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking, for you will find me when you seek for me with all of your heart. It involves hard work, self-denial, prayer, loneliness, even getting to the end of yourself, and seasons of depression. But those are the moments where God can come and he can reveal himself to you.
Pastor Ray Bentley, pointing out the joy of having the bigger picture, the divine perspective on our everyday trials. Good insight today here on Maranatha Radio. And if you'd like a permanent copy of today's message, contact us and mention the title, The Cost of Understanding. It's available on CD for just $7. Again, it's called The Cost of Understanding. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Daniel on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Within God's creation are many hidden insights God wants us to discover. Well, Pastor Ray exposes many of them and how they correlate with Scripture in his new book called The Holy Land Key.
In Genesis 1:14, it says that God gave the sun and the moon and the stars and the lights for signs and for seasons. The Jewish people say that a blood moon or a lunar eclipse is a sign or omen for the Jews. A solar eclipse is a sign or omen to the Gentile. We're going to talk about the patterns of what has happened in the past when these blood moons have come and what we might anticipate in the near future.
If you're fascinated by the close tie between Bible prophecy and what we see in our world today, you'll love Pastor Ray's brand new book called The Holy Land Key. Author and speaker Ann Graham Lotz said, Ray Bentley shares insights that are jaw-dropping, eye-popping, and mind-blowing. Read this amazing book and get ready for your mind to expand with new thoughts, your heart to enfold God's people, your eyes to glimpse God's plan, and your faith to soar in worship. My applause. This is a very worthwhile read. Well, let us send you the Holy Land Key. It's available in our online store at maranatharadio.com. And if God has made an impact on your life through Pastor Ray's teaching, would you let him know? Drop a note in the mail or find him on Facebook, facebook.com/PastorRayBentley. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Daniel. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.